Welcome to La Liga Weekly. We're doing this on a Tuesday morning because Sevilla are in the title race. And no, they're not. All we wanted was a four-horse race with four games to play. Is that too much to ask? Okay, and a relegation battle with four teams separated by a point. What a contest. But boy, are we suffering for it. If Atleti win the league, then never in the history of football will a team have scraped their way to a title like this. The Elche game was essentially their whole season in 90 minutes. Start playing well, and then for tactical reasons that somebody like you wouldn't understand, they stop playing well. The season is now at the point where Elche's Fidel is standing about to take a penalty conceded in a moment of brain freeze. Are they going to get off the hook this time? Real Madrid won, and Eder Militao is the new Sergio Ramos. A timely goal saved them from what was beginning to look like another 0-0. See, football is gripping in its own way, Florentino. Barca's game at Valencia was actually exciting. They were behind thanks to some hapless defending, but enter Lionel Messi, the only footballer less likely to score a penalty than a free kick. Do you remember Valencia being the voice of reason and wise reflection? Well, that lasted less than a fortnight. Another manager gone. Jermaine Ginas is the early favourite for the job. Actually, Mourinho and Benitez are both being linked with it, but I think there might be a missing ingredient. We'll have a look at the relegation battle. Maybe a bit late, Kike, but well done. And we'll preview Real Madrid's Champions League semi-final. They're 6-0 down from the first leg, according to the best of British pundits. Given what happened at Old Trafford on Sunday, I wonder whether there might be some interesting scenes at Stamford Bridge when Florentino and the boys arrive on Wednesday. We've got 2 weeks without music and Terry's refusing to play his drums for the intro for contractual reasons. It would be just the luck of Arsenal fans if the Spotify guy takes over and then everybody starts a boycott. £2.50 for a million plays, it seems perfectly reasonable to me. Terry is here. He's not very well, so we might have to take a brief break if the phone rings. So a quick warning, and we're not editing it as well, so you're getting the raw version. And so, Terry, what a season! What a title race! Every time we put Sevilla in it, we have to take them straight back out again. Is it too much now for them? Or if they beat Real Madrid Sunday night, are we putting them back in?
Yeah, I think that the weekend Sunday's game is massively important for them, of course, and for Real Madrid. And it comes on the back of they'll know the result from the game on Saturday, so that will give us a clue. They will be hoping that the big game on Saturday is a draw. Then they'll think that, you know, it's highly unlikely that they're going to win it now, but it's not impossible. And the two results at the weekend that they need are not impossible. So, you know, it's, you know, every chance Barca could join Atletico Madrid. Sevilla could beat Real Madrid. That's not out of the question. On the back of Real Madrid playing against Chelsea, of course. And then they would be back in it just. But the results have to go their way. A winner from the Barcelona-Atletico game does kill their chances, I think.
Yeah, and it was a real missed opportunity, wasn't it, against Athletic. When Monday, I'm getting confused about what day it is, Monday night.
Monday night.
Yeah, done on the break at the end. A little bit too slow, isn't it? It's weird, isn't it? Because yes. We've said this so many times about Sevilla, and yet they're still technically in with a chance of winning the league with four games to play, but frustrating.
I agree with you on the fact that they play too slow. And there are players in their team that I think don't help that cause. You know, I look at the way that they play, I look at the way Lopetegui makes his substitutions. I was baffled by a number of them. And that was a really good point. When you look at managers, how you judge them, yes, the players that they buy or the club buy is a big factor. The technique, the tactical styles that they choose is another big factor, of course. And then I think that the team selections, of course, and then the substitutions made. And I think when you judge the performance of Lopetegui in last night's match, it was appalling. It was terrible. And, you know, I think they were too slow in their approach, too cautious, too much passing to feet. They had a good spell, it was 25 minutes in, where they started quickening it up and the commentators said they're going through the gears. And that was clear to see. There was a lot more one-touch passing, a lot more forward passing, and a lot more closing down higher up the pitch. That lasted till half-time, then it disappeared again in the second half. And then the changes Lopetegui made were quite baffling, to be honest. I mean, he tries Luke de Jong with En-Nesyri, but Luke de Jong ended up playing wide on the left. Gildan came on, who I think is a terrific player, barely made a pass forward.
Yeah.
He came on for Rakitic, who was looking quite threatening. Suso, I think, is one of the disappointing players for Sevilla, I think. I don't think he offers them enough. And when it was crying out for more pace, I thought a replacement for him would have been Munir. but it was, I think it was Franco Vasquez, who's another slow player. So they kind of played into the hands. And then Diego Carlos coming off, that was the last straw. Diego Carlos coming off and Endo going back to centre-half and being the player left to chase Sunset and Yaki Williams at the end and made a real mess of it. Jourdain was the other one chasing him. He was not going to get anywhere near Sunset. And Fernando chose the wrong option. He just stayed in the middle, didn't close down Sunset, made the pass an obvious one to Iñaki Williams, who finished it off in fine style. So the whole of Rea's substitutions and changes made by Lopetegui didn't help their cause. I think they're a terrific team. They had a really good season in La Liga and could have gone closer. But as we've seen with all the teams at the top this year, they'll all, whoever doesn't win it will look back and regret a number of results. Little spells of the season. The only team that's not going to do that is the one that wins it. You look at Barcelona's early form, Real Madrid's inconsistent form, Atletico Madrid, the recent slump in their form, and Sevilla were out the title race. At the beginning, we were hoping that they were going to be genuine contenders. Hook or by crook, they got back into it. But that was a disappointing, not just a disappointing result, I thought disappointing performance, but it just goes to show, doesn't it? That stranglehold that pressure has on a team where they're playing really well by coming from behind, no one having any great expectation. Then playing last at the weekend after the other 3-1, and we saw a shadow of the performance we've seen in recent weeks. So it just goes to show that the mental side of the game, because I think Sevilla, not saying they would normally beat Athletic Club at home, but if they played anything to their potential, then I think we would have seen a different result last night.
I think it's fair to say a classic season doesn't involve everybody playing at their best, because we certainly haven't had that. I suppose the perfect football season would be, you know, everyone in the title race firing on all cylinders, which we haven't had, have we? We've had this attritional season full of mistakes, full of teams throwing away results here and there or getting away with results. And then we're left with this sort of fascinating battle at the end of it. I mean, let's talk about Atleti, shall we? Because as you identified early in the season, it was like they're doing the whole season like he does a game, in that they're hanging on. They've got, you know, 2-0 up and start clinging on and defending and defending and defending. And you're thinking, what am I? Obviously, you're the expert. Simeone is the expert, and I'm just some dumb bloke looking from afar. I'm thinking, are you not much better when you attack these teams? So you're good when you attack, but they don't. And it was painful the second half against when it was Saturday afternoon, wasn't it?
Yeah, just playing normal football. Don't go, if you go 1-0 up and you're playing well, just play normal football. Don't attack with maybe less players, but still attack. Try and keep possession. Don't make substitutions, which leads to, being more defensive, which sends a signal out to your players what you're trying to do. And especially against a team such as Elche, they're struggling to get wins. They're struggling to stay in the division. It was Sunday like you're playing Bayern Munich away from home and you're 1-0 up. And don't send players forward. Marcus Llorente again, the decisive player in this match. The drama at the end, and they nearly paid for it, didn't they? With the penalty at the end from Fidel. An interesting debate. So many things wrong with that penalty. 10 players encroached. I looked at it. I know I'm becoming a bit finicky about the encroachment and the goalkeepers, but it's just the basic law of the game. 10 players. I thought at one stage Koke was going to tackle him before he took it. And then Oblak's a yard off his line, but he hits the post. So it's null and void. It doesn't matter. I think it should.
Yeah, I see what you mean.
I still think if the goalkeeper comes out and as a penalty taker, you're trying extra hard to beat him. I know it's all done in a split second, but I still think that should be retaken. But anyway, Atletico survived by the skin of their teeth. It was such a dramatic moment because Elche need the points. So that could be a real decisive key factor. Who wins the league? Who gets relegated in the 93rd minute with a missed penalty by Elche? But Atletico, they do what they... But they don't have to take some risks. I'm interested to see, as we all are, the game at the weekend, how they're going to approach it. I think there are players that need to stand up. Team selection was slightly weird as well from Simeone, I have to be honest. And I'm disappointed that we're not seeing more from João Félix. I think long term, that has to be an issue at Atletico Madrid. You can't pay 120 million for him and he's not starting the big games now, which has happened a few times this season. So I think when you, you know, I call for him to be an important player at Atletico. And if he's not starting, then he's not going to be. But I think for, I think he has the talent, and I think the money they've spent on him means that he should be more of an important player, and perhaps his form should have been better as well.
But he can't go anywhere, can he? He's one of these many players at the moment who just trapped. You know, the only way you're getting a transfer of that size now is basically negative equity, isn't it? The only reason, you know, for that price is if you are the very, very best at what you do. So Haaland might go at that price because he's the very best at the moment, but no one else is going for that figure.
No. And the jury is still out on João Félix. You know, he's a young player, super talented, but hasn't done it on a consistent basis for Atletico. And, you know, it's a, when you look at the price they paid for him now, it does seem a huge overvalue. And Correa is now starting above him, ahead of him on a regular basis. Personally, I'm still going with João Félix. I think it would take guts from Simeone to call on a big-time player at the weekend against Barcelona. So it's going to be interesting to see what his team selection is. No Koke, no Sol at the weekend. Midfielder Kondogbia. Thomas Lemar was there as well. It was, as I say, a strange team selection. And now we're looking at the team selection in terms of tactics as well for the weekend's game against Barcelona. Will both teams play a back three? Will neither play a back three? I presume Barcelona will. Atletico probably a five. And try and, you know, I understand why at the weekend they would be a little bit more cautious.
So is a draw okay for Atleti? Or because a draw lets Real Madrid in, doesn't it?
Yeah, but I think a draw would be okay. Yeah. I think I think Simeone would, of course, love a 1-0 win.
Yeah, but it's Simeone. I don't know why I asked you that question, sir. He was happy with a draw against Elche.
So, I think a draw would suit Atletico. But what's fascinating is to see how he approaches it. Will he surprise us and play Llorente and João Félix off of Luis Suarez? Will you play Carrasco as a wing back, Trippier as the other wing back? You know, will he be more attack minded? I doubt it. But I can't wait. Of course, anyone who's watching the league this season, the weekend is massively important. So it's almost like a playoff, isn't it?
Yeah. Well,
win the league.
Yeah. No, but it's more complex than that, though, isn't it? It's better than that, isn't it? Because it's really complicated, isn't it? Who's going to win the league?
And three games left afterwards as well.
Yeah. Yeah, and you keep looking at it thinking, oh, this could be the weekend that does it, but it won't be, will it? It looks very much like it's, you know, it's certainly going another couple of weeks, whatever, isn't it? And then, you know, you look at the results and you think, well, and the games to play, and they should be winning most of these games, but evidence is there that they're not winning all of these games, are they? Because they're all flawed.
Exactly. Well, at the weekend, we had Elche struggling to stay in the division, putting up a really good fight against Atletico. Osasuna got nothing to play for, put up a good fight against Real Madrid. Sevilla get beat by Athletic Club. So every game from now on is going to be competitive. I've no doubt about that.
Let's talk about that Real Madrid game against Osasuna. So again, you know, I think of something new to say about Real Madrid. It was hard work, but they, unlike, I suppose, the previous couple of league games, they did get there. Eder Militao with an important goal, and then Casemiro with a fabulous goal, Terry, from the very top drawer.
First touch was brilliant.
He basically stumbled into the ball, didn't he, and scored the second goal.
Tried to control it. Terrible miscontrol. Great forward run. Terrible miscontrol as the ball was into his path, and the goalkeeper was on his way out, and it trundled past him. I think it was a really excellent night for Real Madrid in so many ways, because they got the win, first and foremost. Hazard was back and for an hour looked sharp, looked to be an asset to Real Madrid again. How cool is Zidane, by the way? Because they're 76 minutes in, still 0-0. He's got Toni Kroos and Modric on the bench. How many managers would have panicked and bottled it with 20 minutes to go? 30 minutes to go, and taking off young Antonio Blanco, who's played another good reason for Real Madrid's good night. Young midfielder who played really well. How many managers would have panicked with 30 minutes to go to hold his nerve until the 76th minute when they got their first goal? Then it was game done then. But I know most managers would have looked at the bench and gone at half time, but it'd been, you know, a bit tetchy. Do I need to put them on now? Should I put them on quick? You know, should I get them on early? He chose to hold his nerve, which is no surprise. They get the 2-0 win. Modric and Kroos get rest. And, you know, I thought it was an excellent night's work for Real Madrid.
Will they, because obviously they've got the Champions League semi-final coming up Wednesday night. So will they go through? Are they the favourites? Is it another one that's just simply too close to call?
Too close.
Yeah, we were reflecting with the Patreon. Oh, by the way, patreon.com/LTEL if you want to support the podcast. I forgot to say that. We're supposed to be screwing money out of people. This is football, after all. go to the Patreon site, please, and support us. And thank you to all the Patreons who do. And we were saying to the Patreons on Friday, the reaction in England was just, I thought, bizarre that after the Chelsea, the first leg of that European semi-final. I know it was wide open. I know Chelsea had chances in the first half, but the game was a draw. It is there.
Yep.
And who doesn't know this about Real Madrid, that there are times at which they don't play well, and then you look at it and you think, how did they beat us? Yep. Every team has had that against Real Madrid.
I'm not backing against Real Madrid. I would never back against Real Madrid in this competition. Hmm. Just wouldn't. So I still back them to go through. And I think they're in a better place than they were in the first leg. Players are back from injury. Hazard is fitter, and I expect him to start against Chelsea. And if he's in form, anywhere near his best, he makes Real Madrid better in terms of their attacking part of the pitch. He gives Benzema that class, that quality, that support that Benzema lacked in the first game. Because Hazard on his day is, you know, when he's functioning properly, is one of the best players in Europe. Yep. Excuse me.
Yeah.
I don't think Mondi will be back. Don't think Ramos will start, despite Varane being injured. We're still waiting on a COVID test for Valverde. So I think they're going to be in a better place in terms of the team selection going into the second leg.
What a shame there are no fans. I know it's been said a million times, but you know, if imagine Hazard going to Stamford Bridge with Chelsea fans in the stadium. It'd be fascinating to know what reaction he'd get.
And haven't forgotten Courtois left either.
Yeah, yeah. But good players for Chelsea. So it'd be an interesting dynamic, wouldn't it? It would be fascinating. But there we are. We'll enjoy the game anyway. So Barcelona, Terry, the other team in the title race, a bit of a crazy because they looked. Well, obviously, for podcast listeners, we haven't discussed the Granada game. So they mess it up massively on Thursday night. Looked as though, you know, they basically gave away their favourites tag, didn't they, with that defeat against Granada. And then they were losing to Valencia after a stupidly conceded goal from a corner. And you're beginning to think this is all going wrong for them. But in an exciting way, they managed to pull it round and get the win.
Yeah, I mean, against Granada, they were complacent, pure and simple. 1-0 up, should have been 2 or 3. And then in the second half, Granada make the most of the counter-attacking play they had to take all 3 points. What that did was took it out of Barcelona's hands. You know, because now, if they win every game and Real Madrid win every game, Real Madrid win the title on the head-to-head. So that's taken it out of their hands. And at the weekend, when they go 1-0 down, I mean, I couldn't even begin to explain how bad that defending was. Mm. You know, there was a slight block on Ter Stegen, there was a slight block to allow Paulista to run towards the far post, and I think it was Longley got blocked. And how inexplicably can you head in a corner 6 yards out with nobody near you?
Into an empty goal.
into an empty goal. It was bizarre. And, you know, there's been criticism about the defending. I agree to it. Extent, but it's the same old problems for Barcelona. When teams hit them on the counter-attack, it is an issue when they're outnumbered. The right players have to be playing. You have to have some more pace in the team. I criticised the selection of Sergio Roberto against Granada because he doesn't help them when they're being hit on the counter-attack in terms of pace. Dest is, I think, a better option at right back. I think Sergio Roberto is being underused in midfield. I think he's a terrific midfield player, but we don't ever see him play in midfield anymore. So I think that's the issue with Sergio Roberto. But at the weekend, there was nothing they could do about the second goal. You can't be critical of their defending for that, other than you could be fussy and say someone should get out and close down Carlos Soler quicker. But he hits it with such power. It's a stunning goal. But Messi was the difference again. Other players are playing well, stepping up to the plate. I think Griezmann's having his best form since he's been at Barcelona. And Frankie de Jong, just, you know, he's such a multi-purpose player.
Yeah, it's good.
Because he's great on the ball. Well, that's the easy part to see. But the amount of times he gets himself into the box, this is a player we thought was going to be a holding midfield player. He's played sweeper. He just does the right thing at the right time, whichever position he's playing in. So he was influential in the first goal for Griezmann, getting himself into the box to have the initial header, which was saved by Cillessen. Griezmann snaps up the rebound. Messi with a penalty. He's I don't know where to start with Messi. I got a stat. I think it's 85-25 in terms of penalties missed, which isn't bad, but it's still 25. I'll just check that. I found the stat and I thought, well, that's an interesting one. Yeah, 82 scored, 25 missed, which that's a lot of penalties to take, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a lot of taken. Is it?
But how bad was this penalty?
Yeah. But also, it would have been retaken anyway, wouldn't it? It's weird.
Yeah, he was off the line.
Yeah, he was, wasn't he? Yeah, but it's all weird. Penalties are now weird, aren't they? But they bundle it in anyway, don't they? He was trying to put a bit of deceit into it, and he didn't deceive him, did he?
Yeah, so I don't think he deserved a second opportunity with that bad penalty.
Yeah. But then, of course, he takes a free kick from outside the penalty area and zips it over the wall.
That's what I'm saying. Why does he not think... I'm never going to tell Messi what he's doing right and wrong.
Go on, tell him.
But what about if he took it like a free kick? When you see the free kick, the weight of his body is completely on his right side and he's wrapping his left foot around the ball. And then when you saw the penalty, it was a feeble rolled into the corner. You say about trying to be deceitful. I didn't see much deception on it, to be honest. And most goalkeepers, as long as they haven't guessed and gone the wrong way early, would have just fell on that like they did. But his free kick was brilliant. I mean, it's a good reaction after missing the penalty. Barcelona kept the ball alive and he slams it home. But the free kick was fantastic. You can do that from 30 metres, 30 yards, and you're doing it from 12 yards and a penalty. Just run up and hit it like a free kick. Like, he can go right, he can go left, he can go top corner, bottom corner. It's quite baffling, to be honest, when you got a wall with all those people in front of you.
You know, for your a guy out, who classically doesn't overthink football, actually, does he? He doesn't overcomplicate it with his finishing. Yeah. He's not a guy with a million tricks. He's not a Neymar, is he? He's not a circus performer. He just beats people with close control and speed and everything else.
But Change of direction.
Yeah, I think he overthinks his penalties. I think there's too much going on there sometimes.
Yeah.
So Koeman got sent off against Granada, so he wasn't in charge of the weekend. So he wasn't on the pitch of the weekend. It could come down, you know, if they're all level, it could eventually come down to your fair play record. And the manager being sent off is a factor in your fair play record. So it's a fascinating one. I haven't seen the tape. Well, I've seen the tape. I'll share it for Patreons. Basically, so the La Liga fair play table. Hang on, I'll just do the share screen for the Patreons. There we are. So Real Madrid are the top of it, and then Barcelona. Although obviously Real Madrid, Barcelona.
Shock horror, Hatafe at bottom.
Yes, I know. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So there's not that reformed a team, is it? So obviously Real Madrid have got the head-to-head on the rest. So if they're level on points, it can't come down to that. But if it's 1-0 this weekend, I was thinking. Actually, this is complicated. No, I don't. Yeah, you know what, I'm talking rubbish here. If it's 1-0 this weekend, then obviously Barca and Atleti would have an identical head-to-head. And it would then come down to goal difference before head-to-head. So, yeah, ignore me. Right.
So if goal difference was the same and goals for was the same.
And all of that, but it won't be. When thinking about it. Yeah, it won't. Yeah, yeah. So it won't be because they're actually so offense. Much better off than Atleti anyway. So, yeah, forget that. But it was a notion. It was a notion. So basically, if the head-to-head is in Real Madrid's favour, And then Atleti 1-0 against Barca. So that is important, isn't it? So a 2-0 win for Barca this weekend is significant, isn't it? So the second goal of victory could be important in the head-to-heads. But no one can catch Real Madrid in that respect.
No, and I think Barcelona would be happy to just be above Atletico three games to go. Yeah, so if they can get the win, it'd take them a point clear. The consequence of this game, if Atletico win it, could be in the bag.
Yeah.
You know, it could be the case.
But they'll mess it up against Real Sociedad. They'll get a 0-0 against Real Sociedad the week after or something, wouldn't they, if that's the case? I'm happy that it's going good a while yet. I think we're going to get to the last week still having to do these sums.
Yeah.
Right, shall we have a look at the bottom half of the table? In fact, I'll share the table again with our Patreons. So it's what you get for your money, this. You get extra stuff and you get to see the table, whereas podcast listeners have to look up their own table. Right, so there we are. So let's have a look at the bottom. So Eibar won a game, Terry, and they won it convincingly with a hat-trick from old Kike. So they're 26, Elche 30, Huesca 30, that's the bottom three, Valladolid 31, Alaves 31. Extraordinarily close, isn't it? 1 point between those four teams. And what do we say? Getafe still in on 34, yep. Valencia on 36. Valencia have got three teams below them to play yet. So, you know, if Valencia lose, they'd probably have to lose all their games, Valencia, to go down. But if they do, then they're obviously giving points away to teams below them. So there's a good chance that they'll be caught by, you know, they're still, theoretically in danger.
Yep, Voro stepped in again.
Yes, he has. So what about the sacking?
He normally does get a response, doesn't he?
Yeah.
A couple more points would probably do Valencia, if I'm being perfectly honest, but it's easier said than done when you're in the current run of form that they're in.
Yeah.
Which has led to the demise of Javi Gracia, which I think is really harsh. I really do. But it's a results business. Valencia, despite selling their best players, didn't expect to be in a position where four games to go, they're on the fringes of a relegation battle. I still think with the quality they've got, they should be mid-table at the very least.
Who are they going to get?
No concerns.
Are they really... We're
talking about Diego Martinez, aren't they, is the obvious choice, but it's a big call for him, you know. It really is, because his trajectory of his career is going in the right direction. Valencia is a massive club, obviously much bigger than Granada in terms of everything, history, support, stadium and weather, expectation. Yeah. But at the moment, it's not going in the right direction. They've been hit because of the pandemic, lack of, you know, resources, sold off, you know, some excellent players last summer, haven't replaced them. So it's not an easy job and the expectations are still going to be high.
It's all about the negotiation, isn't it, with Valencia? Because obviously George Mendes got straight in touch with them, apparently, about Mourinho going there. As I say, the missing ingredient of Rafa, you can see the case for Mourinho or Rafa Benitez going there, but the case involves them having a couple of €100 million to spend on players to have a genuine crack at stuff. There is no reason that Valencia couldn't be a regular Champions League team, that you look at the current condition of Barcelona, Real Madrid, couldn't be challenging for the league.
Yep.
But it requires a massive upgrade on spending, and that we just simply haven't seen, have we? Not, you know, the first.
I don't expect to see Valencia.
Yeah,
I'd be amazed. I think Jose Mourinho and Rafa Benitez, in, you know, a few 1, 2, 3, 4 years ago, it'd be quite. You'd look at that and you think, yeah, I can see that. I can see why they would want to go there, but I couldn't see it now. I don't expect there to be a massive injection of cash. To start bringing in the players that we should see normally play for Valencia.
So what about Diego Martinez?
I think they're out of question.
Diego Martinez, has he got to the end of where he can be with Granada? That's the question, isn't it? Is that the peak of Granada for now?
I would think so, to be honest. I mean, crack at European football, two seasons in La Liga, keeping them, you know, competitive to the extent they qualified last season in seventh and they've given it a good go this year with a ridiculous amount of games they've had to play. So I think as a manager, sometimes you have to know when to move on. Some managers don't make that decision, the correct decision, and live to regret it. He's a young manager. His time's on his side, so there's no rush. But like you, I agree that, well, I presume you agree that perhaps this is the right time that he's reached that glass ceiling at Granada, and is Valencia the right move?
I don't know. I genuinely don't know, because you think big club, big potential, all of that, but it's chaos, isn't it? And it's eaten managers up, hasn't it? The only one it hasn't in recent times is Marcelino, who they sacked anyway. And since then, Unai Emery was the last one who had a long, proper crack at it for a long period of time, wasn't it? You know, they've rattled. There was Voro's, what is it, seventh go, which tells you everything, doesn't it? You know, it's just they keep sacking people. So, you know, you give up your nice job at Granada, where you get to call the shots, where everyone rates you, everyone respects you, and you go into the
and you got a better team. Open.
Yeah, yeah.
And you've got a better team at Granada than Valencia, clearly. So you argue, you know, better team because of him, better players probably as well. So that's the difference. It's a big decision for him because it's a bigger club. Historically, it's a big job in Spanish football. Historically, they are an important club in La Liga. So it is difficult to turn it down, despite the circumstances at the moment at that football club.
Yeah, right. Let's have a look at the rest of them. So the scores were Valladolid, yet another draw, Terry. Extraordinary number of draws they got, but
16.
So yeah, it's another one edging
drawing
towards
their way.
Yeah, but are they? It's, you know, because they're not getting safe with these draws, are they? That's the problem. Villarreal beat Getafe by a goal to nil. Getafe just can't shake off the spectre of relegation. Cadiz, I'm convinced, Terry, that Cadiz will win the league next season because, you know, all they have to do is sign one good player and then they'll be unstoppable. You know, they just like never play well. They don't seem to have any players, and yet they just
40 points. Yeah, what an achievement that is.
Extraordinary, isn't it? How they keep
10
on
wins,
going.
40 points. I always say 10 wins gets you safe. Yeah. You always pick up enough draws. You look at the teams at the bottom, they're nowhere near 10 wins. But Cadiz have picked up 10. Yep. So huge congratulations to Alvaro Cervera and his team, because they've punched right above their weight. And I'm pleased because I love seeing the supporters in that stadium. And we haven't had the opportunity to see that this season. I think it make them a better team as well. And I think that when we get to see them again in La Liga next season, hopefully with, you know, the crowds back in, we'll see a different Cadiz. So job done. Congratulations to them.
Yep. Eibar, 3-0 against Alaves with that PK hat-trick. Yeah.
Well, he's the only one scoring goals for them, isn't he? And for him to get all three was ridiculous. This was a massive shock because of the form Eibar had been in and because of the improvement we've seen under Calleja with Alaves. They were awful. They were woeful. Kike Garcia put them to the sword. The third goal was brilliant. They were able to take Kike Garcia and Brian Hill off with about 20 minutes to go. They were coasting. So it probably is too little too late. But Kike Garcia is probably, with his form this year, if he wants to, he could probably stay in La Liga, I would imagine. You know, he's shown, you know, enough quality to suggest that he's a top flight player. So I think it's come too late. I'd like to go on for Villarreal in the win against Getafe. Villarreal didn't play well. Getafe probably had a better team and deserved something from the game. But young 18-year-old sub Jeremy Pino took his goal really well. So that was a big moment for him. Not his first goal by any means, but certainly one that he'll remember. Huesca with the late win. Dramatic style against Real Sociedad with Sandro Ramirez, is it? Or Elizondo own goal? Yeah. One of those whipped in free kicks.
I hate to be a killjoy. It's an own goal, isn't it?
It's an own goal, yeah. You know, nothing's going in, is it? Without, it's on target.
Even if it's on target, the touch took it. The touch was significant, you know, and it took it up and off its course a little bit, you know. It's an own goal.
I think that's what I love the free kick, though, because I always moan, and I'm sure I've done it with you when we're commentating together, that when they just float it in, if you whip it in with pace, it does cause problems. Yeah. If you get the right height, then that happens. You know, someone has to get a touch. They can't leave it. So that was a big win for Huesca, puts them back in the race again after a couple of disappointing results. Eibar, I think, too little too late. Levante were on the beach again with a 2-0 defeat at Celta Vigo. They're the team to play if you want to pick up points.
Yeah.
And Valladolid getting the draw, coming from behind this time rather than losing the lead. Aitor Ruibal, he's an interesting player. One that we saw at Leganés on loan last season. I didn't think he was a Betis player, I have to be honest. He was industrious, aggressive, powerful, strong. But he's gone back to Betis, and after the first half of the season, has found himself playing on a more regular basis. Scored at the weekend, and I think he's made Betis better. He's made them a little bit more solid. He is the type of player that Betis needed to make them better in the second half of the season. So pleased to see him score. So it was a decent weekend. Cadiz with Sabrina with his goal with the tapping, as we said, a marvellous achievement for them. So it's been nothing decided yet. That's the good thing. Brilliant, teams that we thought were safe are being dragged back into it. Sabira's hanging on by the skin of their teeth. Can't wait for the weekend's action. And it's all to play for with four games to go. It's brilliant.
Yeah. So Saturday afternoon is the Barcelona Atleti, isn't it?
UK time.
And then the Sevilla Real Madrid is the Sunday night game, is it? The late Sunday night game, isn't it? And before we go, Europa League semi-final as well, of course, too, which is in the balance, isn't it? Villarreal were coasting against Arsenal. And as you said to the Patreons the other day, with three quarters of the football match to go, essentially, Unai Emery decided to shut up shop and try and play for the, you know, hold on from there. And it backfired, didn't it?
It did. I mean, taking El Kassar off, I'm not sure if he was in. I don't think he was injured. He played again at the weekend. Capu, who got stretched off in that game, played at the weekend as well.
Lazarus-like recovery, wasn't
it? Definitely one of those attempts to evade a second yellow card, wasn't it?
Yeah.
When he brought down, I can't remember, he brought down which Arsenal player he fouled, but he went down injured, stretched off, looked in agony, and then he played again at the weekend. So Villarreal need goals. They do need further goals. I think Arsenal will score. Arsenal probably feel similar to Real Madrid. They'll have one or two players back that weren't available properly for the first leg. Be a tough game for Villarreal. So I hope Unai Emery doesn't go out too cautious, too negative. I think he has to attack Arsenal because I don't think they're very good at the back, Arsenal.
Yeah.
So I think Villarreal have the quality to get one couple of goals maybe. The Emirates to you know, take them through to a final. Come on, Villarreal. It's a massive for them. They've never won a trophy. You know, this never been in a final, never won a trophy. Unai Emery in his first season. It's been inconsistent, hasn't it? Up and down. But if he can get them to a final, Villarreal will believe they made the right choice in making the change last season. Despite the criticism, Calleja got them into Europe. But they were bold enough to make a choice to go that next step. You know, we might just be able to do it.
Yes, right. So all that is coming up. So for the Patreons, we'll be back later this week to have a look at those European semi-finals, a preview of the huge games coming up this weekend. And for all of the podcast listeners, we'll see you and we'll know a little bit more about what's happening in this title race and this relegation battle next week. So we'll see you then.